handheld candles and silent night. We read from the prophet Isaiah. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us, and authority rests on his shoulders. And he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace, for the throne of David and his kingdom is upon him. And he will establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness. From this time onward and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. And from the book of the prophet Micah, and you, O Bethlehem of Ephratah, who are one of the small clans of Judah, for you shall come forth for me, one who is to rule Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient of days. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, called Bethlehem, because he was descended of the house and the family of King David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged, and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time for her came to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping a watch over their flock by night. Then the angel of the Lord stood among them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. And the angel of the Lord said to them, "Fear not, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign unto you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of clothes and swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors. Come, O come, all ye faithful." When the angels had left them and gone to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Tonight, our message, we're going to hone in on, talk about two people who are just kind of mentioned in the story in passing. They come very quickly and they go very quickly. One is the most powerful political and military leader, perhaps, of all time. Maybe this is the strongest, most powerful leader the world has ever known. And the other is a hotel clerk. Both are instrumental in the birth story of our Savior Jesus, yet probably neither of them ever knew what happened or what took place. We begin with a man who was born of a woman, a man and woman, yet was considered a god. We're talking Caesar Augustus, Emperor Augustus Caesar. He is born with the name Octavian. He was adopted by his uncle Julius Caesar. and was his successor as the ruler of the Roman Empire. Augustus Caesar ruled for over 40 years and was never really critically challenged in his power or his leadership. He was the man. He was the most powerful of men. And the people of Rome considered him a god. And the government and Caesar himself, they made sure that everybody thought he was God. Now, whether or not Caesar ever thought he was God, we don't know. But he did on purpose condition the people to believe that he was God. As a Roman citizen, you went to the temple dedicated to Augustus Caesar. You made sacrifices and gave money in his honor. You treated him like he was divine and exalted. Again, whether he believed this or not, we don't know, but Caesar encouraged it because it gave stability to his government. It's a whole lot harder to overthrow a human being than it is to overthrow a god. And so, even his name, Augustus, means divine, worshipped, cherished, exalted. Now, this Roman god never knew it, but he played an important role with the coming of the Son of God. Caesar's role, he never knew, but with Caesar, we begin the journey. God starts the movement to being born into this world in Jesus Christ. And the reason I'm talking about Caesar Augustus tonight is the lesson that God uses us, whether we know it or not. Whether we intentionally are serving God or going about our own business, God does the big and the small in our lives. We don't know the plan, but God does. Luke includes this reference to Augustus Caesar to put a date on the Gospels, no doubt about that, and to give us a historical reference, and to tell us that even one who considers oneself a god is an instrument of God Almighty. He is an instrument. We are instruments of God Almighty. God uses us. We're not puppets on a string. There's no way. But God uses what we do, our actions, what goes on around us to fulfill God's works. Now, most often we look for God in the big, the miraculous, the big stuff, God. God also works in the tiny little winks and whispers. The great preacher Fred Craddock put it this way. There does not have to be a miracle or an unusual event for God to be at work. God works miracles to be sure, but God works without miracles too. God works through the mundane government census. That's the most boring thing in the history of the world, a census. And God works that. Called by one who never knows Jesus exists. Through a decree of Augustus Caesar, Mary and Joseph get to Bethlehem, the city of David, where a Savior is to be born. The prophets foretold this, and now he is going to assume the throne of God. This little baby born in a manger saves the world forever. Speaking of manger, we now move to another man. This guy's not of noble birth. We don't know if he was ever in high society or not. This is the innkeeper of Bethlehem. And I got to tell you, this is one of the most maligned dudes in all of history. Every one of us have been there. We've seen the kiddie programs. The kids are all up there, and Mary and Joseph go knocking on the door. And they go knocking, they climb up all these steps, and they go knocking on the door, boom, boom, boom. And this grumpy innkeeper opens this little half door, looks out and says, "No room at the inn, get lost." We've all seen it. And I remember, I hate to admit this, I remember a church fundraising, missionary fundraising campaign that had the slogan, Will you be the innkeeper and ignore these needy families this Christmas? Thanks. This poor, slandered innkeeper isn't even mentioned in the scriptures. All the gospel tells us is there was no room at the inn. That's all it says. Yet this innkeeper is the recipient of thousands of years of hostility and bad press. Let's look at the scene for just a minute, the night Jesus is born. Bethlehem is a bustling city of about 15,000 people. Now with the census and everyone having to return to the town of their lineage, we're thinking that there's maybe around 20,000 in the city at this point, all looking for a place to stay, and there's no Residence Inn, and there's no Motel 6. So instead, the people are finding shelter in any empty places they can. Most go to a relative's house or a friend's house, stay in a front room, stay around the fireplace, or there's crowded courtyards. If the houses are built in a square, there's courtyards. Normally, it's a flat-roofed home, so they can stay up on the roofs. It's crowded. They're in alleyways. They're looking in parks. They're going everywhere they can just to sleep. It looks like a tent city. Now, ordinarily on this trip, Joseph would have found a private room in a relative's house, and that's where they'd have stayed. But now they make these inquiries, and everything's been taken up by other people who are in town for the census. No room at the inn probably meant there was no room anywhere in the city. And perhaps our maligned innkeeper is many innkeepers, all of them very tired, all of them all kind of harried because there's so much going on, and all wishing they could help but finding no place for them. But let's reimagine the innkeeper for just a second. Maybe one of them says, you know, you don't want to give birth in the middle of a crowded front room or on a rooftop surrounded by another dozen people. Why don't you go back to my stable? Why don't you go to this cave maybe where we keep the animals overnight? You'll have some privacy there. It'll be better. So our not-so-grumpy innkeeper suggests that they go to the animal shed. And through the inability of the innkeeper or innkeepers, inability to find a place for them, we learned another lesson about God. Things don't have to be perfect for God to work. Isn't that a blessing? None of us have to be perfect for God to work through us and in us and with us. Conditions don't have to be perfect in our eyes. We don't have to be perfect in our eyes for God to be at work. I guarantee you that over this next week, some of our celebrations are going to get messy. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, they're going to get messy at some point, except for me. And God is at work in us. God is at work in those around us. The humble birth of our Savior in a place where animals slept and ate by no means takes away from the fact that God is born into the world that night. God with us, Emmanuel. He became one of us in the simplest of ways, in the simplest of places, in the simplest of times. God indeed works miracles. Have you ever been where you say, wow, that was just a miracle that person got better? Or wow, that child's birth, it was a miraculous thing. And have you ever been just there and all of a sudden something happens and you just can't believe it? And you can't explain it? That's God working. Absolutely. But there are times when you're just going about your business. Those ordinary times, those everyday events, and we're just hanging out, not even thinking about God, and something flashes through our mind, something happens around us. We look in our children's eyes or our grandchildren's smiles. And we know that God works even when we don't realize it. From a government census, in a crowded city with no place to stay, to a stable fit for animals, God worked his miracle, the Son of God. And today he works through us, with us, those of us of great noble riches and noble birth, those of us who aren't so noble, those of us who are poor, and all of us in between, the Lord God works in everyday ways to bring about his miracle of God with us, Emmanuel, God with us.